Good morning. Very, very nice to be here to worship God with all of you. We've got visitors. We're so grateful for that. And see a lot of familiar faces too. We've had some wonderful Bible study going on so far already this morning. And I'd like to present some things for your consideration from God's Word. But first, if you'll allow me, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my family. I grew up in a family of five. I have two brothers. We had three dogs, and we lived in five different houses. I loved my parents very much, and I have many great memories. And I'm thankful for the influence that they had on my life. But they were not perfect parents. Which one of us can lay claim to that, right? Dad told me one time that he started smoking cigarettes when he was about 15. You know, back in those days, on the silver screen, if you'll remember, Humphrey Bogart smoked, right? Everybody did on the screen. I don't know if that's what influenced him to take that up or not, but when I finally noticed that he was smoking an awful lot, I said, Dad, how many cigarettes do you smoke a day? He said, well, about three packs. That's a lot. I remember at the morning coffee at the breakfast table, he'd drink his coffee and smoke a cigarette. And then I worked with him a lot. We built houses, and he smoked all day at the job. And after supper, some people call it dinner, but anyway, in the evening, after that, he'd sit in front of the newly acquired television set, and he'd smoke several cigarettes at that time. Mom smoked too. And I can still remember us boys crawling down in the floor, you know, with our elbows to watch TV because the room was full of smoke. I don't know if any of you have been there or not. The last house that they lived in Marble Falls, anyway, Mom went in for some neck surgery at the hospital up in Burnett, the old hospital. And after they came to wheel her out of the room to the surgery room, Dad said, I need to smoke a cigarette. So we walked out the front door, and he lit up one. And I was telling him a story about what I'd watched on TV a few days before about some famous actor. I can see his face. I don't remember his name. But he admitted to the interviewer that he had been addicted to all kinds of substances, you know, speed, cocaine, alcohol, all kinds of things. And he said he had broken those addictions. He did not rely on them anymore. But he said the hardest addiction to break was smoking cigarettes. He just nearly couldn't quit it. So I was telling that to Dad as he smoked that cigarette. And so as we started to go back into the hospital room, he said, yeah, it's a bad habit. I should quit. And I said, well, Dad, they were saying it's an addiction. And as he walked past me, he said, yeah, it's a bad habit. Well, he wasn't ready to admit that. Dad died at age 81, and he had emphysema. But, you know, they raised three sons to respect authority, to appreciate good work ethics, to strive for high morals. And, boy, we gained a healthy respect for God's authority. I loved studying the Bible with my dad. Anyhow, I'm indeed thankful for parents who helped me to see the beauty and dignity of living a godly life based on spiritual values. And You might be interested to know that happily, not one of us boys took up that bad habit, right? Well, there are bad habits and there are good habits, and replacing the bad with the good is no simple task sometimes. What is habit? Habit is what we are wont to do, right? What we practice, what our manner of life is, our second nature, so to speak. The way we are, the rules we go by. Now, I want to tell you another short story, kind of like a parable. There was a wise old man who was once taking a stroll through a forest with a shiftless young fellow by his side. You got the picture? Just think of me as a wise old man. And maybe think of Tony as a young guy. Well, seeking to teach him an important lesson, he stopped and he pointed to four plants that were close by. Well, the first was just young, just barely coming up out of the ground. And the second was a little larger. And the third was a small shrub, while the fourth had grown into a small tree. The tutor said to his young companion, "Tony, pull up the first plant." Well, the boy did so eagerly, using only his fingers. "Now pull up the second." The youth obeyed, but found that task a little more difficult. "Do the same with the third," he urged. The boy had to use all his strength, but he uprooted it. "Now," said the instructor, "try your hand with the fourth." The pupil put his hands around the young sapling and pulled with all his might, but couldn't get it up. He said, "I can't do it." This, my son, is what happens with our habits. When they are small and young, we can easily remove them. But the longer we let them live, the deeper the roots grow, and the more difficult it is to uproot them. Now, I think that is true. That's true with all kinds of habits, whether it has to do with, you know, our diet, our exercise, managing our money and our time, making daily goals, early to bed, early to rise. You know, whatever it is that we do on a daily basis. A smart guy once wrote, "We first form our habits, then our habits form us." You know, the word habit is rarely used in the standard English translations, but the concept is embedded in numerous commands and scriptural lessons. You know, some of the later translations do make use that word habit more often, and I'm going to refer to one of those a couple of times. So the question arises, how can I form good habits? And it's really quite simple in theory, right? So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll read a little bit here in the letter to the Thessalonians. In verse 15, he says, "Seek after that which is good." Now, that'll get you forming good habits. Seek that which is good. And in verse 21, he says, "Examine everything carefully. Hold to that which is good. Abstain," in verse 22, "abstain from every form of evil." That's how we form good habits, by obeying that. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, Romans 12, you might go there too because we're going to see something else from Romans 12. But there in Romans 12 and verse 19, he says, "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." That's what we need to do. Paul's personal practice in 1 Corinthians 9:27 speaks to the importance of good habits. There he says, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So we're talking about discipline, right? And in Peter's exhortation to personal growth, He challenges us to add to our faith moral excellence, and then to add knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Add these things to our habits. These are the habits we should have. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 is where that was. So where do these wonderful virtues begin, and how do they grow? And what makes them a permanent part of our character? And the answer is habit, having good habits. Aristotle once wrote this down. He said, moral excellence comes about as a result of habit. We become just by doing just acts, temperate by doing temperate acts, brave by doing brave acts. You know, all habits begin with a single thought and then proceed to an action. But repeated again and again, they become ingrained in our character. They define who we are. Solomon said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The importance of thoughts and action is pretty well summarized in a quote credited to Ralph Waldo Emerson. I read this. He said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap character. Sow character and you reap destiny. And I know that we all long for a heavenly home for us that Jesus has prepared for us. And it's really, we just need to remember that it's so important to stand firm in the faith. Paul wrote that to the Corinthians, you remember, in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. Stand firm in the faith. To maintain our faith in Jesus, it's necessary to form good habits. Good habits of faith. We need to do some self-examination from time to time. I need to ask myself, have I stopped growing as a Christian? Has my involvement and participation with other Christians in things pertaining to God, directed by His Word, not changed much in the last few years? Or even gotten less? Self-examine. If we find ourselves standing still, not growing much in our personal faith, if our level of knowledge is virtually the same as it was years ago, if our passion to evangelize, to share Jesus with others, seems to be waning, then it's time to wake up to those facts and to attempt to turn it around. What can change that? What can get us all moving and growing in a better way is the cultivation of very simple, good spiritual habits. The word habit usually gets a bad rap. We often associate it with something negative, something we ought to get rid of, quit doing. I'd like to mention to you four good spiritual habits that we should always be trying to improve upon. Prayer. I'm not some routine words that we speak before a meal or before bedtime. Talking about heartfelt, soul-searching, thoughtful prayer. So if you're still in Romans 12, we'll look at that. Romans 12, verse 12. And this is from the Phillips translation of the New Testament. I had not ever read that before I put this thing together, and I like some of the ways he words it. He's translated. So Romans 12:12, according to him, says, base your happiness on your hope in Christ. When trials come, endure them patiently, steadfastly maintaining the habit of prayer. I like the way it reads. It's really easy to start something sometimes, but then sometimes we neglect to continue it. In the Bible, you know, prayer is not just a mere ritual, a mere duty that we check off the list. Words that I've memorized and repeated over and over and can say them really without even thinking. Prayer is communication with God through Jesus Christ from the heart that becomes a vital part of our total relationship with God. Steadfastly maintaining the habit of prayer. You know, I need to tell God about my troubles, my weaknesses. Ask Him to help me with decisions, choices, plans that I make. Ask for wisdom. Confess my sins. Praise Him for His grace, mercy, and goodness. And always be thankful to God. I need to ask Him about people that we know who are sick or grieving or hurting or dying, that He will bless them. We need to petition God often. So rather than worry and complain about get depressed, we need to form the habit of prayer and steadfastly pray for my family, this church, this nation. And the habit of reading and studying from the Bible. And to read and study with honest self-examination, so it'll do me some good. As recommended by James chapter 1, if you want to turn there, James chapter 1. And again, I went to the Phillips translation, and here's the way it's worded. James 1, verse 21. He says, "Have done then with impurity and every other evil which touches the lives of others, and humbly accept the message that God has sown in your hearts and which can save your souls. Don't, I beg you, only hear the message, but put it into practice. Otherwise, you are merely deluding yourself. The man who simply hears and does nothing about it is like a man catching the reflection of his own face in a mirror. He sees himself, it's true, but he goes on whatever he was doing without the slightest recollection of what sort of person he saw in the mirror. But the man who looks into the perfect mirror of God's law, the law of liberty, and makes a habit of so doing, is not the man who sees and forgets. He puts the law into practice and wins true happiness." Makes a habit of so doing. When we study our Bible, when we come to the Bible classes offered here at the building, when we study and dig in, and we let the Word become a part of us, that's the work that spiritual growth is made of. And it'll always bring me closer to the Lord, always, and to His people. I don't know, maybe sometimes we ought to come up with some innovative ways to make us start studying more. Maybe with a buddy or a partner. Take portions of the Bible and be responsible to each other to get it read. Just some other way, something to encourage us onward, to get us out of the slump, if we find ourselves in a slump where we're not growing. And again, it will make us be closer to God. So prayer and Bible reading and another habit of attendance. Attendance. One translation of Hebrews 10 and 25, and I know most of you can quote Hebrews 10 and 25, but one translation that I read said, "Let us not give up the habit of meeting together." This is a good positive context for us to consider. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. You know, through the years of my life, there have been some periods of time where my meeting with the saints was sporadic and spotty. And those were the times that my faith suffered and I felt distanced from God. It's a good habit to come together, to consider God's Word together, to sing praises to His name. But it goes on to say, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us not give up the habit, the good spiritual habit of meeting together. Our attitude should be, well, there's nothing I'd rather be doing than meeting when the saints meet. We continue that good habit, and we do it for our spiritual benefit and also the benefit of others. It's an encouragement to others. And of course, to praise God. It's a habit that I form, and I form it with the intention of keeping it, not giving it up. And I'm not talking about the sense of compulsive routine, but something I want to do. Because it's something I love to do. It's like a meal that I don't want to miss. And Luke can tell you, I don't miss many meals. Yeah, it's not something we do on an annual basis, you know, like Easter or something. But week in, week out, the habit of meeting together. So the regular practice of assembling with the saints over time stimulates spiritual growth and builds a strong family relationship with other Christians. We draw closer to each other. And then the habit of giving. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, one translation that I read, I kind of like the way it's worded. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 says, on the first day of the week, let everyone put so much by him according to his financial ability, so that there will be no need for collections when I come. And I got to thinking about a time in my life. It just popped in my mind. I was riding home from a fishing trip with my grandparents. I was in the back seat. Granddad was driving, and he was on a tear. He was filling me in on his opinion about my dad's commitment to the church and how he thought that dad was giving too much when the collection plate came by. Granddad was a not faithful Baptist. He grew up in the Baptist church, and so did my dad. But anyhow, he was saying that it was extravagant, and that dad was taken away from the immediate needs of the family. He didn't like the way he was given that much. I think it didn't help that dad had a few years before, maybe a couple of years before, had left the Baptist church and had become a Christian and served with the Church of Christ. But anyhow, that was a memory about giving. So generosity with regard to the local church is included in this verse and in other such passages. But beyond that, generosity is something that every child of God puts into practice. It reflects the grace and the generosity of the Father. Through my involvement and my participation, this habit contributes to my investment into my spiritual good. It's another way I enjoy fellowship with all of you and with God. It's a part of spiritual growth for every child of God who does it. These are some simple spiritual habits, and when pursued consistently, each enable us to reach greater heights. We draw closer to God, and it strengthens us against the wiles of the devil. We need to think about prayer and Bible reading and study and attendance and giving as vital spiritual habits. If you're here wondering if this would be a good time for you to render your obedience to God's command, to be baptized for the remission of sin, so that you can become a child of God and ready to start good habits, ready to start living the way that pleases God. We would encourage you to do that. Just let us know while we stand and sing.